Whenever you open up something new in the kingdom, I don't care what anybody says, you have to labor with it. There is a labor that comes with faith. And if you're not willing to do that, that mountain won't move. And if that mountain doesn't move, then you can't get that secured faith that you need. I'm going to talk about that today. I want you to look at Romans 5, verse 1. Well, the Lord has saved the best for the last, the tree of life. Wow. It's awesome. There's some serious fullness up in there. It's what you want, life, real life. Not lifestyle, life coming from heaven that will give you a lifestyle on the earth. Pure life, resurrection life, glory, freedom, liberty, joy, pleasure, glory, grace, life, light, strength and might, healing and medicine for the body. Romans 5. So verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Amen. We've been justified. We have peace with him. He says, by whom also we have access. Say access. By faith. Not access by works. By what? Faith. Say faith. Into this grace wherein we stand. Okay, the grace, the word grace is the culmination of the entire inheritance. Grace is everything that he substituted for you in your stead and freely gave you in exchange. Substituted himself and freely gave you from the Father. Anything you can identify that he has done for you, that's called grace. That's freedom, liberty, that's everything. Anything and everything that's up in the right hand of God is grace. And the Bible says we have access. We have to go in and access. If we learn how to access, then we can learn how to partake. If we learn how to partake, what's going to happen? We're going to learn a realm of victory. We're actually going to begin living in a state of victory. Amen. It's not going to come automatic. You have to move into where it is and appropriate it. You can say it like this. He's already finished the work. Can't be worked for. Can't be earned. Can't be deserved. But it has to be appropriated. If it didn't have to be appropriated, if he'd just throw it out of the sky, we would all have it. Right? But we do have it. Why? Again, let's repeat this part. Why did he put it there instead of here? He put the tree here for Adam. Why did he put it there? So the thieves could not steal or break in. Only by divine design, how could God restore everything that belongs to us, which is our original mandated image, original mandated inheritance, while we're living in the earth when the enemy still has a legal lease to operate here. He put it outside of his dominion or his realm or his access. And by the genius of God, he gave us access, right? He restored everything, say it's finished. Whenever we're working anything from above, it's finished. We're not working for it. We're accessing it. Say access. We're accessing to receive what has already been done, but we have to access because it's outside of this jurisdiction, but it's meant to flow into this jurisdiction. We have to go get it. That's going to require faith. Faith is the catalyst of access. Without faith, you're not going to access. Knowledge gives you, especially revelation knowledge, gives you the light into what you're accessing. Amen? It tells you what's yours in the invisible realm. But faith is the access. I gotta access. If I don't access, what is mine still remains there, but it's not working for me here. Amen? Because I haven't received it. Now, God does have an operation in the kingdom of God before we learn access point, he has an operation in which he brings things down. Amen? He brings it down through ministers. He brings it down through gifts. He brings it down to administrations and anointings. And we can partake of that. But there's going to come a time in your life, and what we want is everyone to become full age. Amen? When we're babes, God brings it to us. But when it comes time to grow up, how many of you ever had it where God was bringing it, and then it stopped bringing? And what used to work didn't work anymore. I remember used to seeing certain people that, I mean, they were just easy street. It just worked for them all the time. And they said, well, I don't have to do any of that. It just comes to me. And I'm thinking, one day, that's going to end. But enjoy that while it lasts. I didn't tell them that. I just said, amen, praise God. If it's working for you, do it. And then that day came. And all of a sudden, wasn't working for him anymore. And what happens when we get like that, we can adopt some spiritual philosophies. And there's a lot of mindsets around that realm. But in reality, the true mindset, I'll give it to you. Go to Galatians 4. I'll show you the mindset of God. Amen? So Galatians 4, verse 1. So now I say that the heir, now every one of us, believe it or not, we're born into the kingdom of God as heirs. We were born into royalty. When he said he adopted you, he didn't just adopt you. I remember one day when the Lord said, you know, being adopted is not like being adopted in the Atkinson household. He said, being adopted is being adopted in the family of God. You're automatically adopted into royalty, which means you already have a position of royalty and you have a position of heirship. Even though you're a babe, God has already aligned out a position for you in the kingdom. Amen? An identity and a position. We don't get our identity from our position. We get our identity from the Father, which leads to our position of joint heirship. So he said, but the heir, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from the servant in that household. Though he be what? Lord of all. You can't run around in a joint heirship mentality with an orphan spirit. You can't walk around confessing, well, I'm a joint heir with God, and have an orphan spirit. You got to deal with the orphan spirit to move up into joint heirship. But as long as we're a child, and Chuck said something pretty remarkable the other day. He goes, you know, once an orphan, he goes, if you don't deal with it, you'll stay a child in a 50-year-old body. Think about that. There are people that still have orphan tendencies, orphan reactions, orphan actions and reactions, and they're full-age adult and full-age bodies. But they never did. And people in church all the time. Why? Because that part of us was never exposed to the identity that comes from the Father. Say identity. And we don't get that old identity into the Father. What happens is we're wanting God, and I did this big time, we're wanting God to use us, to employ us, to set his anointing on us, ever increasing. Why? Because we're trying to find identity in our anointing. And if you're trying to find identity in your anointing, man, there's never enough for it. There is a never enough. God can never do enough for you because it's always fueling the wrong base system because he's doing it for the old man orphan, not for the new man. You see that? There's a lot of preachers that build big, big kingdoms and they're orphaned. And a lot of people get into that building, but they're building that identity because it's never satisfied. You see that? And you're building for the wrong purpose. So what God does sometime, instead of giving you more, 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 and then when he doesn't give any more, you fall all apart. Because you're looking at all the stuff God gave everybody else. He didn't do it for you. And you're comparing yourself. He goes, well, maybe they're ready and you're not. But I'm anointed, God. I have revelation. He goes, yes, but you're still an orphan. You got the wrong foundation working. And so it's not good to compare ourselves to what God's doing with other people because you don't know what's working in them. I did this in my pride. I did this. I said, Lord, I know I got more anointing than he does. I know I've got the goods. He goes, yes, but he's much more mature than you are. He can tell me that now. Back then, I couldn't see that. He's more mature. Mature. Though you be Lord of all, though you be called to the crown, if you're still a child, an orphan child, you differ nothing from a servant in the house, even though all of this stuff's available. So we got to get to the point where we can access all that's available. And so there's a roadmap God puts down for accessing the hundredfold, accessing your next level. How do I get to the next level? How do we graduate? There's two words for graduation. You'll write them down. Faith and transformation. Say faith and transformation. Two words that are going to graduate you. Faith, transformation. Working harder will not graduate you. Doing more will not graduate you. Doing more will get you distracted. Faith, transformation. Say faith, transformation. Now, if you want the real goods, faith for transformation. Say faith for transformation. Because Paul said, he marked it out in the Corinthian model so beautifully. Because the gifts, administrations, callings, all of it was flowing in the Corinthian model. But they were the most carnal of all churches. I mean, what was it? Chapter 1 division, chapter 3 division, chapter 5 fornication, chapter 6 suing each other. I mean, just walk up the line and you can see all. And then all of a sudden chapter 11, 12 is division at the communion table. Then chapter 12, gifts, callings, administrations being poured out. 9 gifts of the Spirit. But we have chapter 13 after that. What is chapter 13? Now follow, he said, covet all this because God likes to use us. I'm a prime example of that. He likes to use us when we're not ready. Amen. He doesn't get intimidated by our faults, even though other people get affected. He doesn't. They do. He doesn't. Because he sees the finish line. He sees, you know, the transformation you're going to make. But there's a better way to do this. I'll show unto you a more excellent way. When as a child, I spake as a child, I did things as a child. See, a child in the spirit is different than a child in the natural, but not much different. The child in the spirit will exhibit all the fruits of the flesh without measure. A child in the spirit will exhibit all the fruits of the spirit. Our full-age person in the spirit will exhibit the fruits of the spirit. How do I get the fruit of the spirit working in me? How do I get joy working in me? How do I get life working in me? How do I get love working in me? Well, the way I tried in the past, when I'd run into myself and see all this stuff, well, I'm going to love. I am going to love this week. I choose to love this week. Well, I did last 3 weeks. One good stretch, I lasted 3 weeks, and then Cujo took over. And what does Cujo do? He likes to bite. So you got a biting. And so he goes, you got sweet water and bitter water flow in the same fountain. He goes, how can this be? But it happens all the time. Why? Because we're still a child in areas. But then other areas we're conforming. So when you're in anointing, you're in the glory zone. You're in the Lord. You're in the presence. You're sweet. You're exhibiting all the fruits of the Spirit. And when you get out of the anointing and the rest of the time, you're in you. And when you're in you, see, that's what we talked about last week, is when I'm in the anointing, that doesn't mean just because God's anointing me, he's approving of me. Now, there is a time he anoints you that he approves of you, but that's called the anointing without measure. When you're in the Corinthian or the gift realm model, he'll anoint you just as you are. I can't tell you how many times you'd walk up in there and just all kinds of stuff, but then the anointing would shift you into perfection. And you would minister the perfection, and after about an hour, you'd be back to yourself. There's a lot of people trying to live in that model, and when they do, and everybody wants that model because they see the glory of it, and they think it's all that, but a lot of people that are in that model, let me tell you what happens to them. There's some wisdom for you. Ready for this? When they're living in that model, they are going to ceiling out very fast. They're going to get to the ceiling or to the extent of their anointing, and they don't know how to get it any further. And when they don't know how to get any further, they're living under it, they start getting miserable. Because they're trying to live on that overflow of their own anointings producing, it doesn't work. And what happens, they get sealed without anointing. And they don't know they're sealing, and then they start getting miserable. And then they try to work it or hype it. That's where your hype system comes from. They didn't start hyping, they ended hyping. Because they have to take things to another level. And they don't know how to do that with God, because their anointing is maxed out. Amen? And so when that happens, they live miserable a lot. And you think they're happy because they're standing up here with a smile on their face, but behind the scenes, they're not. That's why a lot of ministers and pastors in particularly, a lot of them, if they're not flowing in the life and the glory, they will remove themselves from people. They will remove and isolate themselves because they don't want you to know who they are. Because they don't have any other identity in front of you than that which God is coming through. They don't have God working. It happens. So what we want to do is we want to step out of this ceilinged environment into this open heaven environment. Amen? To do that, we're going to have, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. When I was a child, I think as a child, I acted like a child, but when it came time to grow up, I had to put away. He's talking about moving into the love of God. So we read the 1 Corinthians love, we got it posted on our refrigerator, and say, okay, I'm going to love today. And the problem is we're still trying to do it ourselves. I'm going to go love, and you last sometime a day, sometime 3 weeks. If you're really noble, you can maybe do a full 2 month stand in it. But then you're going to blow up. Then when you blow up, you're back to who you are. You're back to you and your stronghold and your anointing. So God will identify the stronghold. And when they identify the stronghold, you can't love because you got a big cujo in there that's restricting your capacity to love. So how do I love when I got a cujo? See, I had a sweet anointing and I had a cujo anointing. How do I love? How do I exhibit the fruits of the Spirit? I can't until he tears that down. Well, you need deliverance, brother. Okay, so you go get deliverance. But I need something to replace that with. Deliverance is not just pulling out. I have to put something back in that's greater than what that thing was. And if it's a big stronghold, I've got to replace it with something greater. Thus, why we need to move to the love of the Father. Now, the problem when I got a cujo anointing, I can't depend on an encounter because they're not coming fast enough to override the stronghold. But if I can, by faith, if I can bring all that to him because he said I could, if I can bring it to him because he said there's a pathway, if I can bring it to where he is and believe that where I am, there shall you be also. Then not only can I encounter the love of the Father, I can abide in the love of the Father and I can dwell there. Now I'm dwelling in something far greater than that thing. You see that? And if I can get there by faith, say by faith, so sozo will come in, because sozo will start rooting things out. But ultimately, you have to replace that whole gulf with something else. You got to get that part of you into the Father. That's going to require a journey. It's going to require an acceptance of what God has done, but you have to get there. Let's give Justin a big hand. Hallelujah. Because he's starting to access now where he couldn't access before. So I said, now when you share this, don't just share the glory, share the difficulty. I asked him, I said, why did that take you so long? Or why did God allow that difficulty? He might share that part with you. If he doesn't, I'll share that part. So go ahead, my brother.
I thought you was talking about the revelation of my golf swing. I was wanting to tell you how good I did yesterday, but that's another day. No, all last year, just through this journey of going to the Father, trying to get to Him, trying to abide in Him, trying to dwell in Him. I mean, I love revelation. When I got here, I loved the Word of God, and I was so hungry, and so I was always in the Word, and I was always receiving revelation and revelation and revelation, and that Word would come, and it would excite me, and the soul would just get all excited, and I would run on that energy for like weeks on weeks, and then all of a sudden boredom would set in, because I was trying to release that faith in the areas of the direction that I was going, but I wasn't accessing, I wasn't dwelling, and so therefore I would just get tired and I would get burnt out after 3 or 4 months of trying to go. And the Lord allowed me to go into the rest. And I was in the rest for probably about a year and a half. And that was really the only place that I can go to dwell. I'm like, I'm tired of resting. I want to go higher. And so I want to go higher. And so Pastor would encourage me about the love of the Father. And I really couldn't even get into the lily's grace. The rest, the garden of rest, Psalms 23 was the only place that I can go. And Pastor would tell me about the lilies, and so I would labor in, and I would fill myself up with the Word, with the lily's grace and everything, and I would just labor and labor and nothing, and I would get tired and burnt out in about 3 or 4 weeks, and I would get away. And then now he would tell me about the love of the Father, and so I would fill myself up with the love of the Father. See, revelation will open your eyes, and I was seeing the lily, and I was seeing the love of the Father through the Word, but I wasn't accessing, I wasn't dwelling in that place. And so there was a time to where all last year was really miserable for me. Whenever he says they look happy up here, but really behind the doors, you're not. I mean, I wasn't miserable, but I was wanting to get into the Father, into his love so much. I was wanting to get into the lily's grace so much. I was so full. How many of you can see something that you want, but it's like you're stretching out and it's right there and you just can't grab a hold to it. That's how I was all last year. I seen it. It was in me. I knew where it was and I had the faith, but there was something blocking me. And so whenever I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. And see, with that atmosphere, there was an atmosphere of heaviness. There was an atmosphere of depression trying to come upon me. There was I mean, I would wake up in the morning with it and trying to go into the prayer closet, and I just feel so heavy trying to get in there, and I would go and get coffee, and I would sit up against the counter drinking my coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about the prayer closet, and just that atmosphere of heaviness was on me. And sometimes I would make it to the prayer closet, and sometimes I knew what happened yesterday. I knew all the laboring I did yesterday, and I was like, no, it's just time to go to work. I'm just going to go to work. And so just that heaviness and that atmosphere was getting the best of me sometimes, but I didn't have a quit in me. There was just sometimes I just didn't press in. I just kept going. And finally I said, Holy Spirit, you are my teacher. I'm tired of this heavy atmosphere. I have the Word of God in me. I want to go up. What is it that's blocking me? What veil is showing? What is blocking the flow of heaven coming through my life? And so I had to sit down with him, and I had to sit there for about 2 or 3 hours, and he began to show me that it was my old man that I was clothed with. I couldn't go into the lilies. I couldn't go into the love of the Father. I couldn't go into the glory. I couldn't step into the robe of righteousness, because I still had the flesh. I still had my righteousness upon me from the old man. And so when that revelation hit, I began to start taking off, and a new wave of anointing started flowing through there. And it was just the very next day at the revelation hit, I began to start accessing the lily's grace. I began to start feeling different. I began stepping into that robe of righteousness, feeling it. I began to start claiming favor upon me. And my wife's business been growing. She's like, I need to hire somebody. There's too much work. I've been praying for my bosses at my new job. I've been praying for new clients. I've been praying for new jobs. I work for 2 owners, and they've been coming to me. We got more work. We got more clients. We got more work. We got more clients. And the favor is just that atmosphere of where I'm dwelling now is now, instead of the old man, now it's the new man. Now it's the love of God. Now it's favor. Now it's righteousness. There's a lot of energy in me. When I'm dwelling in the love of the Father now in the mornings, I just, like Friday, I had an awesome time in the Father Friday, and all day long, it's taken me to a place of worship. Once I get there through faith, Once I get there through faith and the Father starts filling me up, I just begin to start worshiping the Lord. I've been start singing. There's songs. You want me to sing for you? There's like these songs that are just rising up inside of me. Amen. Amen. And it's overflowing all the way to work. I'm jamming out with the radio. I'm singing as loud as I can. I'm at work in my office working with the buds on, listening to Bethel, just feeling the anointing, feeling the atmosphere, feeling the shift. I'm singing out loud sometimes. And people are looking at me like, what's going on with him? But don't give up. If there's something blocking you, if you're having trouble going into the lily's grace, if you're having trouble going to the love of the Father, you have the word in you. You hear it every week. You hear it two or three times a week. Sit down with your teacher and let him open your eyes. Ask him to fill you. Ask him to flood you with light. That's what I did. I sat with him. I said, flood me with your light. Just open my eyes to my understanding, to where I can see which veil that it is that's blocking me. And now when I go in there, I just hand him over. One time I handed him anxiety and the generational curse of anxiety. And that's when that love started purging me and started flowing me. And that's the first time that I really experienced the love of the Father. It started flowing on the inside of me. It just exploded. It was, and he took it right from me there. I know he did, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So don't stop. Don't quit. Keep climbing. Sit with your teacher. He'll show you. He'll open your eyes to it. Amen.
So the skillfulness, so faith and skillfulness and not quitting. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God love Justin, whether he ever accessed that place or not? Did it change God's love for him? But it did change his capacity to receive, and his identity shifted. So I asked him the other day, I said, now that you've gone through that and you've overcome, I said, are you happy you did that? And he said, absolutely. Because he said, I can go in now and overcome atmospheres that used to overcome me. Give the Lord a hand for that. Now, there is always a fight of faith. The Bible says they couldn't enter in because they did not mix the faith properly. So we have to mix the faith, and then the skillfulness the Holy Spirit brings causes us to overcome. Why is there this seemingly battle between the time we begin to the time we really start overcoming? Why is this gap there? Why is it there? Y'all want me to tell you why? It's a rhetorical question. So, the reason why there's a gap there, because there takes time to learn the skillfulness of faith. It takes time to build that faith. What if God just made it so easy, and then all of a sudden, down the road, you start getting presented with things that interfere or block your capacity to get in, and you don't have the faith to override? What God does is he allows a time for faith to build. Why? As faith builds, then what happens, you get something that can override anything and everything that's ever presented to you. So what it does, it produces a stability and a consistency, say consistency, of dwelling, of entering, of abiding, of cleaving to the Lord. Why? Because once we can have that consistency, we can really start growing, man, and start moving into the image of God, which moves us into the glory of God. Amen? Without that building of faith process, our faith doesn't come to a level. See, he wants your faith, you can write this down, to come to a level it overcomes the atmosphere that's controlling you. Because if that atmosphere kept controlling, or that thing kept controlling, and he didn't develop the skillfulness of faith, then every day he would be up against the same mountain and it would be pushing him back. And that's a frustrating type of life to live. Because what we're talking about, again, we're not talking about the anointing in measure. We're talking about moving into the anointing without measure. To do that, we have to have faith and transformation. So the Lord is intent on getting his people into the Father. Why? Because that's so much for our development, because that can produce a springboard of identity. Because when the love starts flowing up and the love starts dwelling, I am accessing a love that's not originating with me, not originating from the world, that's originating from the Father. Amen? And when we start having that, it starts overriding the old and starts shifting us into a transformation for our future development, maturity, and graduation. Sometimes when we're on this side of the veil, we can't see what it is that will graduate us. But when we get over and we get through, and now I have the faith that when those atmospheres present themselves to me, I can cut through them like a knife. They used to intimidate me. They used to back me down. Remember, he said, he'd go in and I'd just give up because I just hit this heaviness. But now he can override that. See, the enemy never uses anything different. He brings the same stuff. So to graduate, we have to get past his stuff. Amen? To get past his stuff, we have to graduate. And God allows that building of the faith. Sometime there is a labor involved. Now, here's what happens. This is the part I want to get to. What happens if you get back down and too discouraged and back down, what happens is if you give up, the Bible says there's two types of turning back. There's a turning back and there's a turning aside. Turning back says go back to Egypt. That's really bad. You don't want to. Turning aside is different. You just turned aside and you're just kind of staying at the progression you made. Turning back, that's backslidden. We're not people who turn back. But sometimes we get discouraged in our journey and we turn aside. See, the kingdom of God's all about this thing called glory to glory. Say glory to glory. Glory to glory. But if we turn aside, we stop the progression. The worst thing we can do at that point is develop a mindset, a belief system that substantiates our turning aside. If you want to turn aside, you want to let go, that's fine. Sometimes we all do it. It's like, I'm just not there right now. I get that. We've done that. But that doesn't mean the Spirit of the Lord's not going to come back to you. Just because you turned aside and you're parked somewhere and you're resting a little bit and look, I'm just not there. I can't do that right now. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to come back and he's going to do this Holy Ghost gnawing. Ever had the Holy Ghost gnaw on you? This is where you can get miserable because you've parked and you're parked, but something in you says, I've got to be there, but I can't get there. And I don't even want to do this anymore. I don't even want to do it. I can't even find the want to. But see, the gnawing kept going. It keeps going. He won't leave you alone. Why? Because God is going to get you to the finish line. And to get you to the finish line, he's not going to let go of you just because you let go of him. Grace never lets go. Amen? Grace will let you park for a while. I parked for a whole year because I didn't understand this realm. And I realized if I'm going to go after the realm 100-fold, the enemy is ruthless. He is ruthless at the high levels. I remember Ben Hanu stood up there and he said, you people have no idea. And he was weeping. It's one of those one times the kind of warfare we endure on a daily basis to carry this kind of anointing. And I realized the higher you go, bigger level, the warfare keeps coming. But am I just going to minister in anointing and be miserable the rest of my life? Or can I find a victory in this whole process? Can I find a realm of victory in this process? But it's, when we do arrive, I'm not just living in the outflow of the anointing. I'm living in him in a state of victory. That's what he wants from us. He wants a state of victory. And this is why rest is so important. This is why the love of the Father is so important. This is why the life is so important. Because you can access these things no matter what. And when you allow and keep at it with faith, your faith will overcome. I kept telling Justin, I said, you'll overcome, just don't quit. I said, you'll overcome, just don't quit. And there's probably a couple times he didn't want to hear that from me. There's probably a time I just don't want to hear that. But I said, you'll overcome, just don't quit, because your compass has already been set there. I knew his compass was set there. But not everybody's compass is set there. If you don't have a compass, but he set that compass because he listened too much. He got too much in the Word, and the Word forged the compass. And because it did, his heart was set on the Father. And because his heart was set on the Father, no matter what kind of storm, no matter what kind of mountain, no matter what kind of resistance, even though he would hit it over and over again, he knew it was there. God had set a destination for him. Faith will override. What was God looking for? Faith to override. Why? So all the impending mountains and resistance that'll come in his future, against him in the future, his faith will pierce right through it. So he doesn't have to pay that price like he did. All he has to do is just stay in his compass, stay in his faith, because he knows his faith will deliver him now. His faith will deliver him into the destination. That right there, the value of that is only known to the beholder. But if you're a beholder of that realm and you know how to do that, you understand the incredible value of that. Because you understand the victory you can actually enter into every day. And you understand the enemy cannot steal your inheritance from you. Say, I am a partaker of the divine nature. That's the divine nature of life, love, rest. I'm a partaker. I'm a dweller. I'm an abider. He that abideth, say abideth. So if a storm, if you're faced with that and you think something's wrong with you and you may have turned aside, you'll get back in gear. Trust me, you will. But I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with you. Everybody goes through that. But you also, I want you to put your hand over your heart and say, I will overcome. I can overcome. I will overcome. Here's the beauty of it. When you get to the finish line, you have it the rest of your life. The glory in knowing we get to dwell in the Father the rest of our life, you start seeing things different. You feel different. You have a different compass, a different perspective. You're living in a higher place. Things are more joyful. I mean, you're in the flow. And then what happens is you see kind of people that are not in the flow and they're struggling. It's like, you ever try to walk through water, run through water waist deep? It's hard to do. They're in the struggle. And you thank God you made it. Amen? You made it. You're going to make it in. Glory to God. So go to 2 Corinthians 3 and I'll close with this. It takes revelation, faith, skillfulness. Holy Spirit's going to help you with this. Amen? If you want it. But you got to understand why it's so important. The sheer liberty that comes from it and the freedom. When you get tired of being miserable, you'll overcome. Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, so this whole chapter is differentiating the operation of the New Testament, which he calls the Spirit, the administration of the Spirit, operation of the Old Testament, letter of the law. He's back and forth with all three of these. He's going to culminate this at the end, and I want you to see this part because it's very powerful. Verse 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, said, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, the veil of the law. He said, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now look at verse 17, very important. Say, the Lord is that Spirit. He is not talking about Holy Spirit here. Ooh, got quiet in here. He said, the Lord is that Spirit. He's talking about the administration of the new nature, the law, the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, of which the Holy Spirit administrates. He said, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. He said it like this in John, where I am, there shall you be also. I go to prepare a dwelling place for you. And where I am, there shall you be also. Say, where I am in the rest, because he is the Lord of rest, there shall you be also. Where I am in the Father, there shall you be also. Where I am in the life, there shall you be also. He said, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. You cannot be in the presence of where I am and not experience the liberty of the where I am. Did you get that? When you get there, you're going to experience the liberty, the freedom. Amen? But more than that, watch what he says. Really powerful. He says, but we all, he didn't say we some, we few, we pastors, say we all. Did he say all there? I mean, do we need to look up the Greek word and see if all means all? All, say all, front row, back row, right side, left side, all, say all. With what? Open face, we're not veiled. What did Jesus say? Father, show me where the veil is. They were veiled with the law. They couldn't see. You can get veiled with a ton of things. With open face, free of veil. That's what the throne of grace is about, getting the veils off. To see. I need to see. Can't see if there's a veil. We all with what? Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're changed. Say we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. God is going to have a people that moves from glory to glory, not from circumstance to circumstance, not from one place in the wilderness to the next place in the wilderness. And 30 years later, I'm still in the wilderness. And 20 more years, if you're still alive, I'm still in the wilderness. No, he wants to move us out from the wilderness into what? Glory to glory, beholding him in a mirror where he is, beholding the position, dwelling in the position, receiving from him in that position, looking at him, beholding, cleaving to him, abiding in him, dwelling in him. Well, it doesn't matter if it's the rest, if it's the love, it's the life, whatever position you're in, it's glory to glory because there's a liberty there that promotes glory to glory. Say glory to glory. Glory to glory means graduation. Glory to glory means we move out from where we were into where he is. Say glory to glory. That is what God's looking for. Glory to glory. That's why he parked us for a while. He says, I got a lot of people doing ministry. I kind of want you to learn how this kingdom works. He says, learn how the glory works. Learn how to dwell in a position that's greater than yourself. Learn how to move into a glory realm that can truly not only shift you, transform you, but can transform a generation through you. We don't know who all's partaking right now, but I mean, Anna was just at a lady's house that's never, ever been to this church. And her husband are both listening intently. We don't even know who's out there listening. We don't know who's partaking right now. Amen? We don't know who's being affected by all this. We're just keeping our eyes on the Lord. Say glory to glory. Glory to glory. Somebody in this nation needs to crack the veil. Did you hear me? Some group of people somewhere needs to break the ceiling to express a kingdom that's far greater than what we're seeing. If what we're seeing could have already, if what we're looking for could have already shown up, it would have shown up. It lives in another dimension. But what we do, again, we park, we turn aside, and then we start developing doctrines. One day is a doctrine. One day God will do it. One day God's going to fall on us. That's a doctrinal belief system that's turned aside. The one day has already been accomplished. But he's asking us to come to where it is. Amen? He wants a group of people to crack the veil. What kind of veil? To walk in a room with a whole room, front row, filled with wheelchairs. Blind, deaf, lame, just like him. And walk in and the glory of God manifest among them. And every one of them are healed and turn aside and turn to the Lord and say, this was done by the Lord. But what did the Lord say when he raised that man out of the wheelchair? He said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to get him out? Both of them was the same from where he was because of where he was dwelling, because who he was dwelling with. It was his position that created that power. Well, he's the Son of God. He had to do it as a man. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. I can only do what I see my Father doing. Because of where he was in the Father, he ministered out of the position that he achieved. And because he did, he had authority over sin, sickness, disease, and mammon. Amen? So God wants us to move up. Why? So he can crack the veil. And the first veil is going to crack is the one here. This has to transform. I can't transform on my own. I've got to find something that's greater than me and greater than the present anointing out there. I had to get this heart in a love that's not of this world. I have to get this heart into a life that's not of this world. I have to get this new man into a rest that's not of this world. And I have to dwell and abide till I become that. Amen? And when I become that, I start moving from glory to glory. And what happens? He starts moving through. It won't be long. This whole kingdom's going to start moving through. Amen? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. It's one thing I want to share. There's one thing I do, and you'll want to do this on a daily basis. Two things. First thing is pray for the eyes of your heart to be flooded with light. Justin said that you've got to have light. You've got to have light. The enemy is constantly working on your light. You've got to have light in here. Without light, you will not have a compass. Without a compass, you don't know where you're going. You have to have the light that creates the edge. That gives you the edge. It's like an Olympian. They get the edge. You've got to have that light inside you that gives you the edge. Amen? Secondly, you have the light. The light. Say the light. The light that gives you the edge. The compass. Got to have the compass. Say the compass. The compass that keeps you moving from glory to glory. Glory to glory. Glory to glory. Glory, Father, from glory to glory, you're changing us. From glory to glory, you're transforming us. And this is what I want to share with you. When you're in there, God swore a long time ago to Abraham. The Father swore to him. And he said, in blessing, I will bless your seed. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed. He said, that seed was Christ. We're joint heirs to that. Everything that God's working in you, Christ the love, Christ the rest, Christ the life, God not only swore to give it to you, which he did, he swore to multiply it. You can hold that up to the Father on a daily basis and say, Father, you swore not only to bless me with this, but you swore to multiply me. Multiply Christ in me. Multiply the rest. Multiply the love. Multiply the grace. Multiply the life. Multiply it till I am no more. Multiply it till it overrides me. And then what? I become the image of Christ. Multiply me into the image. What is God working? Here's my last close. He's working the image. Let us make man in our image, and then let man have dominion through the image. Without the image, can't have dominion. Got to have the image. Amen? Got to have the love, the light, the life that's producing the joy, the strength, the might. Got to have the image of love, life, and rest. That was the image. Adam walked in the cool of the day with the love of the Father in the life of the garden. God has to restore that image. We have to eat from that till He multiplies the image till we become the image. That is, my friend, the highest calling on this side of eternity. There is no greater calling than to be conformed to the image. I can't tell you how many people have gone to heaven, visited there, and the question they were asked, how much of my Son is working in you? How much of Christ did you obtain? Not the works. How much of Christ did you obtain? The image. We get the image, the power, the dominion will come out from the image. Gotta have the image. Can't produce the image in my own strength. Don't even bother. Got to get out from this world into where He is, and I need to abandon myself to His image. I got to let Him unfold, open me, remove the veils till I stand before You with open face, and I need to not just encounter, I need to dwell. That is where your hunger is ultimately leading you. That is when that gnawing sensation, no matter where you're at in life, it's leading you somewhere, that's calling you somewhere. What's it calling you to? It's calling you to His image. It's calling you to overcome so you can eat, partake, and be clothed till we become the manifest image of the Father. We walk in the freedom and the liberty of God, the love of God. When people betray you, you respond in love. Instead of wrecking your life for 6 months and 3 days, you're over it and you're still on the path. So no matter what the enemy's confronting you with, you're operating in the image of love, life, and rest. Love, life, and rest. Get those three. They're a major fundamental part of the hundredfold glory. Listen to Wednesday night. I'll tell you why. Amen. Was this good? Praise God. From glory to glory. Glory to glory. From glory to glory.